All right. There we go. I want to, man, I feel like I need to start with prayer. And we just got through praying. Let's do it again. Father, thank you for your word. Take your word and apply it to my life. And it is in your son's name I pray. Amen. So we read, I read the first eight verses of Acts chapter 8. And here we're going to be introduced to Saul. It introduces us to Saul, but we're not going to get into Saul, believe it or not, until chapter 9. Chapter 8 is going to be about Philip. Philip the evangelist, and he goes about preaching the gospel. It says that at this time in life, Stephen had just been stoned. Herod was emboldened to do whatever it is that he does, and he was emboldened to kill Christians. And it says that there was a great persecution that arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. A great persecution. There was everyone left. Everyone started scattering except the apostles. And that's going to be important. It's not going to be important, but it's going to be, I'm going to be pointed out in just a minute, except the apostles. And they went everywhere. Whoever left went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. That's pretty incredible. And then Philip, it says, he went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame and were healed. And there was great joy among all the cities. They had revival. He preached powerful. The people with one accord turned to him. And listen, again, the reason for the miracles, the signs and the wonders to be done was for the hearing of the word. It was for the hearing of the word. It was for the preaching of the word. They heard the word. They saw the miracles. They saw the signs. They saw the wonders. And then they repented and returned to the Lord. And I can't help but wonder. You know, how many of you have ever wondered why there's not signs and wonders? There are. There are. Don't get me wrong. But why we don't just see them all the time? People lame getting up, people full of the whole people lame getting up off their mats, and people blind seeing, and people deaf talking. And do you ever wonder why? I wonder if it's because we're not proclaiming the gospel. We just want to proclaim the signs. And if we were to get to proclaim the gospel, that these people that we want to pray for, God might heal them. He might. There's obviously another side of this story. He might not. Heal him in this life. He might not heal him until the next life. For the next life. In the next life. He will heal him. Well, anyhow, so there's a sorcerer. He's in verses 9 through 25. Let me read 9 through 7, 9 through 13. But there was a certain man called Simon who had previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And Simon himself also believed, and he was baptized, and he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which are done. Now, this Philip guy is going to be, this Simon guy is going to be, you're not going to know where to come down. It says he believed. And then later on, it says your spirit perished with you, the thing perished with you. First of all, Philip is not Philip the apostle. It's Philip the evangelist, Philip the deacon, Philip, one of the seven that was chosen, whose name was Philip. The reason we know this is because it said, except the apostles left Jerusalem there in verse 1. They all left except for the apostles. And the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. A lot of people think that the persecution was just an Hellenistic persecution. This is obviously the word of God going to Samaria. Now, Samaritans were, and this is just a little bit of a history lesson, Samaritans were half-breed Jews. They were part Jew, part something else. They would be like, what would we call them? We would call them American Chinese, right? Let's say you had someone whose parents were Chinese, but they were born in America, they were raised in America, they're Americans, right? They speak American. They speak American. They speak English, but they speak it just like they're Americans. They are Americans. That's what these Jews were like. These Hellenistic Jews. They were Jews by birth, but they were really Greeks by nature, by culture. They were Greeks, and so we have this. Some people believe that it was just the Hellenistic Jews that were persecuted because they were easier to touch than the full-blooded Jewish person. They were easier to touch. They were easier to get to. It doesn't matter whether it was or whether it wasn't, because persecution is coming to all. Persecution is coming to them all. Verse 14 says, now when the apostles heard who were at Jerusalem that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to him. They wanted to make sure. They had to check it out. They sent Peter and John. This is going to be real important after the gospel goes to the Gentiles in chapter 11. They're going to have the Jerusalem council, and it's going to be real important. But they sent Peter and John. They had not yet received the Holy Spirit. This is kind of hard to talk about because it goes against everything that I believe, that now as soon as we receive the gospel, we receive the Holy Spirit as well. But this happened at Jerusalem. Peter was the one that preached the sermon. This happens here. Peter is the one who goes and lays hands on him. And this happens with Cornelius, the Gentile. And you'll notice that this follows the outline that Jesus gave to everyone about the way the gospel would spread, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the utmost parts of the earth. So he sent Peter and John. They said, have you received the Holy Spirit? They might receive the Holy Spirit. They laid hands on them, and they received it. This was important to them for Peter and John to see so that they would know that they really did receive the gospel, that they really did have a foundation for the gospel. Let me just go ahead and give you that verse. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 18 through 19. This is right after Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And Peter says that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now here's the key verse. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So he told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind in heaven is going to be bound on earth. And this was Jesus' way of saying to Peter, you are going to be instrumental in taking the gospel to the world. You are going to be the one who takes the Holy Spirit to the world. And so that's why he did that. So now, a little bit later on, let's get down to verse 19, verse 18, verse 17, here it goes. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, that the Holy Spirit was given them, he offered them money. When he saw that they could lay their hands on the people and they could receive the Holy Spirit, he offered them money. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. This seems to go against. He believed and was baptized, and then all of a sudden, your heart is not right with God. Your money perished with you. Listen, I don't know how to say this. When you come to know the Lord, and you believe and are baptized, then there must be some evidence in your life. There must be some evidence that you have received Christ in your life and that you are walking with him. That's the way it was back then. There had to be. Your money perished with you. These are strong words. You thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You can't purchase it with money. You know, you take an egg, an hard-boiled egg and a regular egg, and you can't really tell the difference by looking at them, but you're shaking your head. You know how to tell the difference. You can spin them. You can spin them on the countertop. The real egg will kind of hard-boiled egg just spin. You can join the church that way. You can believe, you can say you believe, and you can be baptized, and you can join the church. But you can't become a part of the body without the Holy Spirit. And you need the body. You need the body. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order to be a part of the body. Satan comes as a devouring lion to seeking whom he may devour. And Satan comes as a serpent to deceive. He would like to deceive you, to keep you out of the kingdom of God, to keep you out of the kingdom of God. Think of it. Matthew 3:7 and Jesus, also Judas, are my references for this. But Matthew 3:7, the Pharisees came out, and this is John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is baptizing out there in the river, and who told you to come, you brood of vipers? Now that's real encouraging, but he knew them, he knew their hearts, and Jesus had Judas, and they're all part of this deception that the enemy sends at us. And the enemy will send. If everything is going good at the church, if everything is going perfect, and this is scary because you want everything to go good, but if everything is going good in the church, maybe you're not doing what you ought to be doing. Because if you were, Satan would send some deceivers. You see, if you're not doing anything right, if you're just going through the motions and you're not trying to correct anything, then Satan's not going to care. It lets you go ahead, do it. But when you're trying to do what's right, he will send his deceivers to come in. One more passage, one more story. The story of Christ is preached to the Ethiopian. It starts in verse 26. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise, go down toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert." And Philip's probably, man, Lord, there's all kinds of people here in Samaria and all kinds of people. I could stand out here on a street corner. What you want me to go out in the desert for? And one person. Sent him for one person who was going to believe. So he arose and he went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. I won't open that can of worms. If I say, he was a eunuch. If you know what that is, if you don't, that's okay too. He couldn't be a full worshiper. I mean, he couldn't go into the temple. He was Ethiopian for one reason, and then he was a eunuch for another reason. He couldn't go in at all. He had to stay outside. But yet, he was seeking. It was so important to him in his seeking that he went to seek the Lord. And he went to seek the Lord. And as he was returning, he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading. And he was reading from Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm not going to read it all to you there. But he was hung up on verse 7. And it said, "And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his justice was taken away. For who will declare his generations from his life is taken from this earth?" Philip runs up there. You understand what you're reading? He said, "How can I? Except someone guides me." Hops up in the chariot and beginning at that verse. Explained Jesus to him and gave him Christ, and he believed and he was baptized and he was real. One person. He was a seeker. He was seeking God out. He was reading the Bible. He was looking for God. He was gone to worship God. He was seeking God out. Don't you wish it was that easy all the time? I mean, really? Don't you wish it was that easy? Here's what you do. Start out by praying for God to send you to a seeker. And don't be surprised, because I see this all the time. Don't be surprised if it's someone in public reading the Bible. Just ask God to send you to a seeker. Ask him to send you. Just make it easy. Make it easy for you. Ask him to send you to a seeker. And he will. Oftentimes this person is going to be reading the scriptures in public. And just do you understand what you're reading? Just do what Philip did. Do you understand what you're reading? I don't know. Maybe they can. If they can, if they are believers, rejoice with them in the Lord. If not, you can share Jesus. You can share Jesus. Friends, Where'd that come from? People. Where'd that go? Make sure that you're like the Ethiopian eunuch. Make sure that there's evidence in your life of Christ after believing, baptizing. That's easy. Evidence of Christ. Evidence that Christ lives in your heart. Evidence that Christ is in your life. Evidence of Christ. Make sure that there's that evidence. What can keep me from being baptized? There's some water. If you believe, you can. I believe. And he took him down in, and he baptized them, and they came back up. And Philip was caught away. Whatever you want to make of that, you can. I'll tell you that it's the same word as the word that's used for rapture. That's the same word. And Philip found himself in another city. Who was this person's one? Who was his one? Just one. If you'll focus on just one and pray every day for that one, just one. God prepare them. God prepare you. Who's your one? Stand up with me if you would. Feels like half the church is coming down. Hey, whatever you need to do today, don't miss the fact that there needs to be evidence in your life afterwards. Make the decision, yes. Be baptized, yes. But then where is the evidence in your life? That's what Christ is looking for. I don't know where you are today. You come if you need to come. Come and pray if you need to pray. Come and receive the gospel if you need to receive it. You come while we sing.
Only trust Him.